Well, thanks for being here. This morning, I'm going to be teaching on living the transformed life. And we're going to be talking specifically about experiencing the metamorphosis of your mind. Metamorphosis, you know that word is in the Bible. And we're going to be taking a peek at that today. And I believe that I'm going to share some real practical information that will help you and me to live the transformed life. Now, first, we're going to be taking a peek at a little video. I think it's a minute, 45 seconds. It's one of the most dramatic changes of transformation that you can find in all of nature. We're going to see briefly how an earthbound, crawling caterpillar is transformed into a flying, beautiful butterfly. There's a message in this, so pay attention. Quite amazing, isn't it? And you and I, because we're earthbound in this cursed environment and because of our fallen natures, we could never soar into the heavens unless there be a transformation take place. But thank God, through the power of His Word, through the power of His Spirit, He does that for all of us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So we're going to be talking about that this morning. Our key verse, Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Now, Paul begins by calling for us to be sacrifices before God. And he tells us, before we finish this, we'll see that he tells us a process by which throughout our whole lives, the Lord continues to work to transform us. Romans 12, beginning with verse 1, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, he's writing to believers here, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How does that happen? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So these verses collectively tell us that our mind has a huge role to play in living a life that's truly transformed. Now, let me right up front make a distinction for you. There is a difference between your brain and your mind. Your brain is simply the physical organ in your body that your mind uses to operate, to work through your body. You are a spirit. You have a soul, your mind, your motion, real, your will, your imagination. But you are housed in a body. But there's a difference between your brain and your mind. Now, the brain is used by the mind. I mean, yes, and the mind uses the brain. But it's amazing. Do you know that I researched this? And you'll probably like this. Do you know that our brain, that is the matter, the tissue and stuff that makes up our brain, is 60% fat? Do you know that the gelatin-like substance that it floats around in is 80% water? Do you know that your brain is producing electricity enough to light up a small light bulb continuously? Yeah, you're a power plant. You really are. Do you know that your mind has a lot more storage capability than you can imagine? Because we see these computers and we're just wooed and wowed. That's nothing compared to your mind, your brain. Do you know, I read this, that the human mind brain has the capacity to store 2.5 petabytes of data. What in the world's a petabyte? Well, I thought the same thing. Well, here's an easy way to understand it. One petabyte would be the equivalent of 20 million filing cabinets, you know, those four-drawer filing cabinets, full of documents, 20 million of them. That means that your brain has the capacity to store 50 million filing cabinets full of documents. And I know sometimes we don't feel that way. Have you ever been, and this has happened to me more times than I want to admit, you're in one end of the house and you think, well, I need to go do this. And you trolley on and you go to the, and you find yourself in the other end of the house and it's like, what did I come here for? Between there and here, your mind wondered it went somewhere else. That's just a little window into the fact that our mind is not yet perfected, that our mind can wander and go its own way. But the good news is Paul informs us that we can renew our minds. Our old mind is corrupt. We'll see that in a moment. Now, let's break this down a little bit, this key scripture. I've highlighted some words for you. We are told here there are two opposing forces that are operating here. One is do not be conformed to this world. That word conform means to be pressed into a mold. You remember when you were little kids and you played with Play-Doh and you pressed that Play-Doh into a mold and it took on the shape of what molded it? The world wants you to take on its shape. The world wants you to reflect its image. So there's do not be conformed to this world. Don't allow the world to put you in its mold, to press you into its mold. Don't think like the world thinks, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And when we put the scriptures together, we know it's the Word of God that helps us renew our mind and the Spirit of God. So we have the pressure of the world and the power of the Word that are opposing. Just like walking through the house and when you get to the other end and you can't remember what it was that you went there to do, there's a war taking place in your mind. There really is a battlefield there. So it's important that we understand this. Let's talk about that word transformation. That's where we get the word metamorphosis. You can see there's the actual Koine Greek word metamorphosis, literally. That's the English word too, metamorphosis. And it signifies a total change of form, nature, or substance. Just like in the video, how that little caterpillar, it gets in that cocoon and it liquefies itself. It's just gooey in there. But here's some good news. Paul's talking about transforming our mind. In the middle of the goo, there's some glory in you. God's doing something. He's changing from the old to the new, our old mindset. Those lies that we believed about who we are, about who God is, about whether the scriptures is valid, all those kind of things. The anxieties, the worries, the fears, the unbelief, the anger, the bitterness, the resentment, and so forth. All of that's in there. But God wants to work to transform our minds so that we are operating in the mind of Christ. We saw that last week about the mind of Christ. So we're to be transformed, go on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, when you get saved, you're born again, you've got a new nature, you're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but as you walk out your Christian life, the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to reveal where the world's still forming you in its mold. You see, there's those forces. You got the world coming against you. You got the devil coming against you. You got your own flesh rising up within you. And then you've got the Lord allowing these things to happen at times. Why? Because if you drop back in Romans 8, Paul reminds us that God's going to work it all together for good. What's the good he does? Because he's predestined, he planned ahead of time to conform us into the image of his Son. So when you put this teaching together, Paul said the world wants to press you into the mold, but when the world comes against you, when your flesh rises up within you, when the enemy's attacking you, when all that's happening, when you're being tempted to sin, God can use even those things the world, the devil, the flesh are bringing against you to expose to you, oh, this area you need work on this, to reveal, yeah, I still tend to be worldly right here. Oh, I still have weakness toward this sin right here. God can use that to shine a light on it so that we can then incorporate some of the things I'm going to share with you in a moment, be changed into the likeness of Jesus. The Scripture calls us to be in the world, but what? Not of the world. So just running away and hiding in a hole somewhere thinking I can be holy because I'm away from the world. No. Jesus came into the world to save us. Jesus lived his life out in culture. He was among the sinners. He was among the tax collectors. He was among the proud prostitutes. He was among those religious zealots. He was among everything that was going on, and yet he never sinned. And Father says, I want you to be able to do that. I want to conform you into the image of my Son. But you're going to have a mindset change. You're going to have to think differently. Very interestingly, when we talk about repentance, that Greek word metanoia, noia is from the noun for mind. It means to change the mind. When God brings us into repentance, it means we're changing the way we think about something. When you hear the gospel and how you're a sinner and Christ is a Savior, you have a mindset shift. Oh my goodness, I am a sinner. Oh, yes, Jesus is the Savior. And so repentance turns you toward the truth, and the truth then can set you free, make you free. It's beautiful how this fits together. So we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. This word renew, by the way, the renewing, that word renew there, you can see that the anakinosis, it means not just renewing in a sense of a temporary fix, but making something new in kind of restoring it to its superior state. Adam before the fall was different than the Adam after the fall, right? Jesus came to restore us so that as the last Adam, now he's restored us so that we too are different in this world. We have the nature of Christ, Christians. We are to manifest Jesus. So our minds have to be renewed. Our default state of our minds, it is fallen. It is corrupt. In Paradise Lost, John Milton, this is a famous book from centuries ago, and one of his characters in the book is Satan. And Satan, in trying to justify his rebellion, he says, the mind is its own place, and in itself can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. Your mind can make a mess of things in a moment, but if you have the right mind, you can see God begin to do miracles in the middle of the messes. Our minds have to be renewed. Why? Because they're rotten apart from Christ. All of us are capable of very terrible things. So when Jesus saves us, he begins the process of restoring and transforming our mind, and we renew our mind. The Bible talks about the washing of the water of the Word. We get cleansed by the Word, about hiding God's Word in our heart. Why? That we might not sin against God. All of this begins to change what we think, how we think, and what we think. And we'll be looking into that a little bit more in a moment. Now, here's two very practical steps to take if we want to begin to live this transformed life and by the renewing of the mind. We find this in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read it, verse 20 and following. Paul says to the Ephesians, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." What's the truth? "That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." There's that phrase again. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Holy Spirit now wants to be the one who is in charge of how you think. He wants to renew your mind, and that you put on the new man. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do, is transform your mind so that you have the mind of Christ. The new man is who you are in Christ. The old man is who you were in Adam. The new man is who you now are in Christ. The old man is who you once were in Adam. And your mind's got to adjust to that truth. That you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, if we had some type of spiritual brain scan that we could do that would give us the percentages of how many of our thoughts are true righteousness and holiness versus how many of our thoughts are corrupted, we would probably begin to pray, "Oh, Lord, send an upgrade to my computer system. I've got a virus," right? But this is really kind of what the Holy Spirit is doing. You know, bit by bit, changing our mind, exposing the lies, showing us darkness, shining the light, bringing truth. As we humble ourselves and submit and receive and walk it out, then as I taught for the last 7 weeks, grace comes to enable us to do what we can't do in and of ourselves. In other words, God wants us to live this way, and he will help us to live this way. And to live this way, we have to think a certain way. And it's about renewing our mind. So this Ephesians 4 said there's a transformation that's taking place from that old man that's corrupt to the new man that's made righteous in Christ Jesus. That's the before and after. So let's spend the rest of the time talking about three daily disciplines to put off the corrupt mind, the old man, and to put on the renewed mind, the new man. In other words, let's the old man we were in Adam, away from that, into the new man we now are in Christ Jesus. So these are some simple, practical things. Now, you can make a much longer list than this, but these are helpful. I'm not saying it's exhaustive, but it's helpful, very helpful. Here's the first one. You need to filter your thoughts through Scripture. Oh, there's a lot of places we could look. I love Acts 17, that passage where Paul's talking about the Thessalonians. Then he mentions the Bereans. The Bereans were more noble. Why? They searched the Scriptures to verify if Paul was telling them the truth. They looked in those Old Testament passages, prophecies, to see if they really did point to Jesus. And Paul commended them from that. And we've got to learn to filter how we think through the Scriptures, through the truth. Because that's how people get brainwashed in ungodly ways, is they open up their mind to some source that's contrary to truth, and they allow people to baptize them in that carnal knowledge, that worldly knowledge, that vain philosophy, the wrong way of thinking, so that then when you look at something, you draw a wrong conclusion. You look at the lie and say, that's the truth. You look at the truth and say, that's the lie. That's the enemy's process of keeping us operating with a corrupt mind. He's using the same ideology to bring it about as Father does. But his purpose is toward corruption, where Father's purpose is toward righteousness. This is all spiritual stuff I'm talking about. And we see the results of it. So 2 Corinthians 10:5, where Paul talks, this is the passage about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the casting down of strongholds. He says, casting down arguments and every high thing, notice this, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now that idea of exalting itself against God's knowledge is really, it raises itself above what God says. And we're to bring those thoughts, it's like take them prisoner and put them at the feet of Jesus and let Jesus exercise vengeance against it, if you will. In other words, we've got to filter our thoughts. The Holy Spirit is your gatekeeper. What's a gatekeeper do? Guards the gate. Okay, yes, you listen. All right, yes, you're authorized. Come on in. No, sir, you cannot come in here. You're a terrorist. You can't come in here. You're wanting to do something wrong. You can't come in here. You're going to get the floor dirty. You're going to mess up stuff in here. The Holy Spirit helps us as a gatekeeper to keep out the wrong thoughts. We know, and I mentioned this last week, the enemy has the capacity to sow thoughts into our field of thought. We also know he has the capacity to come and steal the seed of the Word of God. He can do that through distraction, by arousing our flesh, get us into impulse, or to distract us by something going on in the world or going on in our life. It's so important to realize there's a warfare here. And so the Holy Spirit will help us as a gatekeeper. Now, let me quickly share with you this under this idea. I want to just these four questions. When you're dealing with a thought, is this fear or faith? I'm talking about an ungodly fear. The fear that paralyzes you, that causes you to become stuck, that keeps you from walking in faith, that keeps you from overcoming the challenges, that keeps you in a jail cell and torments you. That's the wrong kind of fear. I can illustrate it for you. When the 12 spies were sent into the promised land to lead God's people in, they came back with a negative report. There's giants in the land, and we're grasshoppers compared to them. That's what fear does. That's what fear. Well, how do I know if I've got that? Do you find that you often have your fear of what the enemy might do to you is greater than your faith in what God will definitely do for you? And that identifies a stronghold, a fear. So you have to filter your thoughts and begin to identify what's going on here. David and Goliath, you got the armies of Israel shaking in their sandals, and you got a little ruddy-faced teenage boy. I'm not going to let this dog defy the God, the living God. And he goes out against Goliath. And what did God do? God blessed his courage. Why? Because his faith was greater than his fear. Another question. Is this thought friend or foe? If I hang out with this thought, how is it going to influence my life? Is this a thought I need to immediately throw in the trash? Is it my friend or is it my foe? Will it help me or will it harm me? Listen, the thoughts you date will become the thoughts you marry, and the thoughts you marry will birth babies you don't want to have. And I mean that spiritually. All right. Another question. Fruit or flesh? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? are works of the flesh. In other words, this thought that I'm dealing with, does it have the evidence of being a fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, self-control. Those things? Or is it the works of the flesh? Fornication, adultery, anger, bitterness, rage, worry, anxiety, fear, unbelief. Where is it coming from? Is it from the fruit of the Spirit or works of the flesh? And the last one, which I think is a very powerful way to filter your thoughts, is like, if I follow this thought through, where will I end up? Because, listen to me, how you think will radically affect the future you will have. Because if we think wrongly, we can end up driving people away from us. We can end up missing God in the sense the opportunities that are before us because fear may back us down. Our impulsiveness or our prideful thinking will cause us to run ahead of God. All of that, it's so important that we think about where our thoughts will take us. Okay, you're at a train station, and a train representing your train of thought comes into the station. You board that train, and you ride it out. Where's its destination? Wow, I know I'm married, but she's really pretty, and she likes me, so maybe we could just talk a little. Where's that thought going to lead you? Can you see that you may end up in a strange bed away from home? You may end up losing your family. You may end up with a completely different future because you boarded that wrong train of thought and you allowed it to carry you where when you're thinking clearly you would never want to go. And I'll tell you something about old Slewfoot the devil. He knows when to send the train by. He's going to send it by when you're most likely to get on board. Filter your thoughts through Scripture. Second thing that will help us practically a daily discipline is stop and swap. What do I mean by that? Stop and swap. Some of those thoughts that are coming, we just stop them and we swap that thought for something else. In other words, it's like the find and replace feature on your computer. When you recognize, oh, this is not a godly thought, I'm going to stop it. But rather than just warn against that thought, nope, I'm not going to think that. But here's what I am going to think. Oh, here comes that fear again. Let's use that. Fear comes and says, hey, grasshopper. It's a pretty big giant that's warring against you. You better stay away from that. Crush you. Don't you know it? Who you think you are? Oh, you think you're somebody righteous? I remember what you did last Tuesday. You know you shouldn't have done that. And the enemy will do all that kind of stuff. Well, don't get in a dialogue with the devil. That's not a good thing. Jesus, when he dialogued him, he just says, it is written, it is written, it is written. He came against the lie of the devil with the truth of God. And that's the stop and swap. Oh, you're afraid. You know you don't have the courage to do that. No, I don't agree with that. That's not my thinking. I am an overcomer through the blood of Jesus Christ. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. My God will watch over his word to perform it. This is what God says he'll do. And my faith's in my God. So you stop that thought and you swap it and you start declaring truth. And you'll shut it down. And Paul encourages us in Philippians, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are... It goes on to say, lovely, noble, good report, all these things. Meditate on these things. Fill your mind with truth. Fill your mind with what's good, what's noble, what's honorable, what's trustworthy, what's of a good report. The stop and swap. Amen? Now, why? The Holy Spirit's your coach. It's like you watch the coach on the sideline. The players are out on the field playing. And what's the coach do? He'll say, hey, I want you to go in for so-and-so. That player comes out of the game, and somebody goes in for the next play that that's needed on the team. In a similar way, the Holy Spirit will coach us. No, you need to bench that thought. Put this one in the game. This is what you need right now. This is what the devil, I know what the devil's doing, so this is how you need to counteract that. So the Holy Spirit will be like a coach. Last thing is commit to vertical thinking. Look at Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, well, were you? Well, the Bible says yes. Seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So commit to vertical thinking. Again, don't be conformed to this world down here. Don't listen to all this trash and garbage constantly. I mean, you marinate your mind in the evening news over and over. And it used to be, that's not even really a term anymore, evening news. It's 24/7 now coming at you. I mean, we have more access to worldly stuff and stuff going on in the world than any time in human history. Oh, so that means more than ever, we need to be tuning in to station BIBLE, right? And getting full of the Word. Commit to vertical thinking. It's kind of like your thoughts are coming like, whoa, man, I've gone downstairs into the basement. I got to get out of here. I need to go up. I need to go up there in the heavenly places with Jesus. Operate in the mind of Christ. See this from God's perspective. Get God's field of view. Get the big picture. Commit to vertical thinking. Why? The Holy Spirit is your God. He's your God. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said He would guide us into all truth. He can show us things to come to prepare us for what's coming. So this vertical thinking, knowing like, hey, my true life, I'm seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. He's at the right hand of God the Father. He ever lives to make intercession for me. This is so, commit to this vertical thinking. I love Romans 8, as a matter of fact, for my little devotional I do for social media. And you can find that on Facebook. You can find it on TikTok. I have like 29,000 people on TikTok that does my little devotional, and then getting it loaded on YouTube. That's slow to get traction, but it's about a month behind on YouTube, but I'm getting all of those put on YouTube. Why? Because the Lord spoke to me 2 years ago about this is another way I want you to get the word out. So I'm just being faithful to that. But today, I was in Romans 8, where Paul's going through, I can't get into all of it, but I'm finishing with this, where he says about if God be for you, who can be against you? And he says, who is he who brings a charge against God's elect? That's a question that he supplies an answer to. It is God who justifies. It's God who justifies. So this is what I'm talking about here. That's vertical thinking. That's stop and swap. That's filtering your thoughts. When the enemy brings a charge, who do you think you are? You think you're a Christian? Christians don't think like you're thinking right now. Christians don't want to stalk that guy in the nose like you do. Christians don't get angry like you got angry about that. Bringing that charge. And what Paul says, he reminds himself, wait a minute. It's God who says, I'm just as if I never sinned. Then he talks about, who is he who condemns you? It's Christ who died. And he said, not only did he die, but he's been raised. And not only has he been raised, now he's seated. And not only is he seated, but he's making intercession. See what Paul's doing? People bringing charge against you. Somebody condemning you. He's saying, you go back to the truth. You get vertical. Wait a minute. God's the one that says, I'm now righteous. God's the one that says, I'm forgiven. God's the one that says, I'm his child. It's Jesus that died for me. It's Jesus that rose from the dead, and now I have his resurrection life. It's Jesus who ascended and is seated, and now I'm seated with him in heavenly places. And it's Jesus who's praying for me. So devil or two-legged devil, if you want to bring your charges or you want to make me feel condemned, you take it up with God who says I'm righteous, and you take it up with Jesus who shed his blood on that tree for me. Commit to vertical thinking. Why? So that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Why? In order to prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. In other words, when we get our mind and our thinking straight, we begin to manifest the will of God in our life. Because we're hearing God. We're getting truth. We're obeying God. We begin to prove, to give evidence of what God's good and perfect will in our life is. Not only what it is, but what it looks like, because we're manifesting the will of God. Oh, if God be for you, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's right here in the Word. The help we need. Now, just jump in there and get it. Open the book. Read, study, pray, believe, declare, walk it out. Be courageous. Would you stand with me? Father, thank you for your Word this morning. Thank you for the B-I-B-L-E. Lord, thank you for your book. Thank you for the life that's in your Word. Thank you for these simple truths today you've reminded us of. Lord, that we're not going to be pushed into the mold of the world, but we're going to say yes to your work to make us like Jesus. Lord Jesus, may we be more like you today than we were yesterday. Thank you for your commitment to our change. Help us to be in agreement with you, Lord. And I pray for those here this morning, Lord, that may be struggling. Our prayer team members are coming up now. And I pray, Father, that those who may need prayer, those that you're speaking to through this message today, that there would be yes and amen in their heart. There'd be a willingness just to receive the grace that you're giving right now. And I'm believing in this moment, as our hearts are open to the Lord and we humble ourselves, that there's a grace that comes through this revelation. Yes, Lord, I'm seeing more of the light now. And so may it manifest in me. By faith, I receive your grace to be able to live this out and walk this out. And Father, I pray through your Spirit, as people leave here today and live out the week before them, that they would remember to search the Scriptures, filter their thoughts, replace those lies with truth, and to keep their mind set on things above. Help us, I ask. Could you just pray that, Lord, help me today. Help me to live this out in my life. I want my light to shine for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, I encourage you to come on up right now. We have folks here to pray with you. We're going to begin to worship a moment that will say the amen. Just feel free to come. Oh, the Lord loves you so much. He's here. He's available to you. He will help you. Anyone else? You come as we sing. Feel free to make your way up.
You are here and you love
my
soul.
Is there anyone else? You feel free to come. For being here for early church. Please pray for the next service. I encourage you to come back Wednesday night. I think Nikki will be ministering. And so you'll be blessed by that. Live the life this week. Let your light shine in Jesus' name. Thank you. God bless you.
This was your purpose.